Do we really understand the power of the blood of Jesus? I mean, I know we don't completely, but you know, it's I'm a simple guy, and people come and visit with me and have lots of different issues going on in people's lives, in my own life, and I don't think we truly understand that the answer for any of it is Jesus. I mean, we complicate things. I'm not down on counselors and counseling and all that. I mean, those are good things and can help us process through some thoughts and feelings that we struggle with. But the blood of Jesus transforms, changes in an instant. I visited and prayed with a man in my office a few weeks ago, struggling with things from childhood, and we offered those things to Christ, and we had a prayer in my office, and things changed. The blood of Jesus transforms us. It's not just about washing away our sins. It's about making us whole. Powerful song. Powerful blood. I hope if you don't understand that this morning, I hope that the Holy Spirit is speaking that to your heart this morning. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Now, Jesus is teaching. He's teaching his disciples, but he's also got, there's a bigger audience. He's got some of the Jewish leaders are there and just the people. And he's teaching, picking it up in verse 3, John chapter 10. The Good Shepherd is what he's talking about in verse 3. He begins, the Good Shepherd, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Amen. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak with power and authority and transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember when the girls were born. It was a long time ago, 24 years to be exact. But I remember that when they were born, there wasn't an adjustment time of trying to figure out how to love them. They come, they're wrapped in this little blanket, they're put in your arms, and you just love them. I mean, they haven't done anything except pooped and spit up at that point. I mean, that's all they know how to do. And it changes a little bit in 24 years, not a whole lot, but a little bit. But sorry, girls, it's the pits being the preacher's kids, isn't it? But they don't do any tricks. They haven't done anything for you. They haven't, you know, been nice to you. They haven't served you in any way. They haven't done anything. They haven't even done anything really cute at that point. They're just laying there, and you just see them, and they're put in your arms, and you just love them, don't you? That's the way it is with our Heavenly Father. Do you understand that we don't have to do anything to be loved by Him? I loved Kirby and Jordan from the really before they were born. But I loved them because they were mine. They were my child. This morning we're gonna spend some time talking about sitting in the Father's lap. Sitting in the Father's lap. You know, and I can remember as my girls have gotten older, and I hope this doesn't embarrass them, but they still show their daddy and their mom, for that matter, affection. And I love that, girls. I love that about you. A lot of kids get to an age and they may be embarrassed to hold their daddy's hand walking in the mall or to give their dad a hug or a kiss. But my girls aren't. I love that. And that's my favorite thing, is just sitting next to them, hugging them. We never leave each other without a kiss and a hug and a I love you. And I love that. That's what our Heavenly Father wants from us. He doesn't want tricks. Now there is an expectation for a response from us, and that's another sermon, but that's not what makes Him love us. His love for us is just who He is. It's just He can't help Himself. He just loves us. Before we do anything to serve Him, before we do anything in response to His love for us, He loves us. He loves us first. Now, this idea of sitting in the Father's lap, I want to kind of a subtitle. I want us to think about having intimacy with this Father that loves us. Does anybody else yearn that besides me? Once you've tasted a little bit of that intimacy with the Heavenly Father, you just want more. And you know when it's not there, don't you? You know when you're dry. You know when things are not as intimate as they used to be, perhaps. Maybe you don't even have any clue what I'm even talking about because you've never tasted that. God wants you to taste that. He wants intimacy with you. I want us to talk about three different things about what intimacy does for us and to us. The first thing is intimacy must always and is always preceded by relationship. You know, my girls, and this is what's so incredible, when they were born, they didn't know me. But guess what? I knew them. And I already had relationship with them before they even realized it. I was seeking deeper, more intimate relationship with them before they even had the capacity to understand that. That's the way it is with our Heavenly Father. Listen to this passage that we read today, that where Jesus says, "The good shepherd calls his sheep by name He has this personal love for you. It's not, I love John 3:16, but because Jesus said, for God so loved the whole world. That's in John 3:16. For God so loved the whole world. And it's so easy to say, yeah, he loves the whole world, but he doesn't love me. No, he calls you by name. You belong to him. He calls you by name. And he loves you. He goes on, Jesus goes on to say, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. There's I played a clip a few years ago from this movie. If you hadn't watched March of the Penguins, I know it's probably all you young people are going, man, that is so lame. He likes March of the Penguins. It's a great movie. It's a great movie. I love the story of these emperor, I think they're called emperor penguins. I think that's the breed of penguin it is. But this man spent over a year documenting this journey. And the basic premise of the movie is they're in Antarctica, and it's the harshest place in the world to live. And there's thousands of them. And they live in this big mass of penguins. They select a mate, they go around, and they make this noise until another penguin responds in the appropriate way, and then they are mates, and they're monogamous, by the way. They don't breed with just any other penguin, but they find a mate, and they breed, and they hatch an egg, and it's so amazing how the mom penguins make this journey to the back to the sea, while the male stays and protects the little egg. And it takes weeks and weeks, and they make this trip, this journey to the ocean, and they eat and they fatten up, and they're going to bring back this nutrition back to the chick. By the time they get back, the chick has hatched, and guess how there's thousands of these penguins. And guess how the mother finds her new little hatchling and her mate? Through their voice. They begin to make this sound with their voice. And it's loud. And there's thousands of these penguins making this noise. And they're able to find the one that belongs to them. It's amazing. It's amazing. Jesus calls his own sheep by name. And he knows our name, and we know his name. He knows our voice, and we know his voice. You must have relationship before you can have intimacy. So I just want to tell you, if this whole idea of intimacy with your Heavenly Father, if that's puzzling to you this morning, it may be because you don't know him. And do you know that it's possible to spend decades in the church and not know Jesus? Did you know that? How's that? How does that happen? Well, I spent 3 decades in the church and didn't really know him. I was 30. One of those families that went to church. Now, I knew about being a Christian. I knew about being good and trying to be moral. And I knew about the Bible and all of those things. But I didn't know his voice. I didn't know that he loved me, that he had called me by name, that he had hung on a tree for me. Do you know that this morning? Intimacy with our Heavenly Father is preceded by relationship with our Heavenly Father. Second thing, intimacy influences conduct. Intimacy influences conduct. Now, I love this. It came to me as I was studying this week on this passage. But we see these old Western movies, you know, and they're herding their flocks, whether it be cattle or the herd of cattle or the sheep and all. We're used to seeing. You even have herding dogs for sheep. You know, and they herd them where they want them to go. Listen to this. It says Jesus goes ahead of them. He's not herding us. It says he goes ahead of his sheep and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Has that ever dawned on you when you've looked at that passage? He doesn't herd us. He doesn't get his stick and yeah, let's go. I want you to go serve me. Yeah, yeah. No, we do what we've seen Jesus do. Because if we have relationship with him, if we have intimacy with him, we know his voice and we follow him. Goes on to say in this passage that Jesus, his sheep, will never follow a stranger because they recognize a stranger's voice. I don't know about you, but as I became had a stronger and deeper relationship with Jesus, suddenly I've got a meter that goes up when someone's authentic and when someone's not. I can listen to people. I can, whether it be on TV or someone you meet or you're at a public worship service or whatever, and I just have this meter that just goes up. It's like, man, they're doing this for all the wrong reasons. They don't believe what they're saying. Do you have that meter? Jesus' sheep, he says, they're not going to follow a stranger because they recognize that's not the shepherd's voice. They recognize it as the stranger's voice. Intimacy influences our conduct. Third thing, intimacy with the Heavenly Father leads to wholeness and unified purpose. Probably, if you ever come and visit with me, about anything, you've probably heard me say this passage because I use it often because I believe it's very central to what's going on in our lives. And that is John 10:10. It's part of this passage we read today. And the passage says, the thief, the devil, Satan, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So we have to understand that the devil is real and he has a purpose that he's wanting to play out in our life. He wants to destroy us. And he does that many ways. He can do that with addictions. He can do that with behavior. He can do that with through our marriages, through relationships, that perhaps even through hurts and griefs from years ago, perhaps even the person that we, you know, unforgiveness, perhaps people we haven't even forgiven that have been dead and gone for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his goal in life. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, completely. So you have this enemy that wants to destroy you, and he doesn't play fair. And you have this Savior who wants to give you abundant life, who wants to heal the woundedness that you carry around. Did you know that he doesn't want us walking around wounded? Did you know that? Jesus wants wholeness for us. And the more we press into him, the more intimacy we seek with our Heavenly Father, the more abundant our life becomes and the more whole we become. Do you see that, church? Are you awake today? Do you see that you have a Savior that wants abundance for you and wholeness? The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's how badly he wants it for you. He gave his life so that you could have it. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever thing you're struggling with, He wants you to have abundant life. He wants you to have whole life. He wants it so badly, he gave his own life for you so that you could have it. They will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock, one shepherd, and I would go on to say one purpose. He wants wholeness for us. And I got to tell you, let me back up. Me and four other guys, it was ugly, guys. You just had to have been a fly on the wall. But we went to Kansas City this past week and spent 4 days, 2 days actually, two full days there and 2 days traveling. But there's a place, you've heard me talk about it last summer, four of us went. It's a place called IHOP. It's not the restaurant. They don't serve pancakes there. It's International House of Prayer. And it's about 11 hours? Approximately 11-hour drive. Long way. Long day to make that drive. And you know, and this, I'm not saying this in a boastful way or to make it sound like we're some, you know, that we're these grand people, you know, but our only purpose in going was to seek intimacy with our Heavenly Father. That's it. And I believe somehow that God honors that when we seek Him. Because you know what? He wants to be found. He wants us to crawl up in His lap and to embrace us. He wants that. I mean, it's not like He's hiding. He invites that. He wants that. And so we drove up there, and this IHOP, it's their whole deal is, and I'm just going to read. I printed a couple of sentences off their website that tells in a snapshot of kind of who they are. It says, IHOP is 24/7 prayer and worship. They have been going nonstop since September the 19th, 1999. And by His grace, they have set their hearts to continue until Christ's return. That's their goal, to have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, prayer and worship in this prayer room until Jesus comes back. That's a fairly lofty goal, wouldn't you say? I mean, He might come back today, but it may be a few years. We don't know. But that's their goal. And I kind of calculated if pushing forward to September, if we were in September now, it would be 12 years times 52 weeks a year times 168 hours in a week. They come in this September, they will have been praying nonstop for 104,832 hours. It boggles my mind. We go up there and we spend roughly 6-8 hours a day in the prayer room, but they've been going 104,832 hours straight. Do you think that whoever started that prayer room, do you think that perhaps He desired intimacy with the Heavenly Father? Do you think He also didn't just desire it for Himself, but maybe thought that God's people could benefit from intimacy with their Heavenly Father? On Tuesday, we drove on Monday, and on Tuesday, I can't remember, 6 or 8 hours or so was what I spent in the prayer room on Tuesday, and there was a session at 8 o'clock session on Tuesday morning. It was a really powerful session, I remember that this word just kept coming to me while we were sitting there, just being in the presence of God, and the word was more. Kind of like a simple word, but this word just came to my heart. More. And so I began to press in, ask God what that meant, and I believe what He was saying is there's more of me. You haven't even tapped in to me yet, Jeff. You haven't even begun to tap in to all that I have and all that I am. There's more. And then I began to sense that it wasn't just that He was saying that, Jeff, you haven't completely tapped into me, but that I have more to do. Jesus was saying, I have more to do through you and through Wiley Methodist Church. there's more to do, but you have to seek more of me for the more to do to be completed, to be all that I am calling you and Wiley United Methodist Church to be. You need more of me. And y'all know for the past couple of years I have been talking and we have been transitioning and trying to become more of a laity-led church. You know that's been on my heart. We're still in the process of trying to make that happen. We're making progress. And there was a man there named Philip. Philip was actually from Amarillo, but he worked for IHOP, and he was at the front desk. And we had been told by a friend of mine, pastor friend of mine that actually lives in Kansas City, we'd been told, you need to visit with Philip because Philip has the gift of prophecy. He can speak into your life. And so we were leaving one day, and I went by, and I met Philip. He didn't know anything about me except I was a pastor. That's all he knew. And I shook his hand and I said, I'm Jeff Hatcher from Abilene. And we talked for just a second about him being from Amarillo and how hot it was and those kinds of things. And then he just began to just speak things into my life. And the first thing he said was, Jeff, your church is doing well. Your church is doing well. But the Lord's telling me you need to equip the laity. This man doesn't know me. He doesn't know anything about what we've been doing for the last couple of years. The Lord's telling me that for y'all to be all that He's called you to be, it's going to take the laity. You've got to equip the laity. Because if you don't equip the laity, it's going to hold you back from being all that God's called you to be in the areas He's called you to be. And it's going to hold the church back because they're not going to be able to be all that God has called them to be in your community. And I'm just inside, I'm just smiling. And there's joy and, quite frankly, some astonishment that this guy is saying these words to me. Doesn't know anything about me or my church. And he said some other things, but that was the gist of it, was that we needed to equip the laity. And that God wants us to be more. And I told him, after he finished telling me that, I told him what we'd been, the transition we'd been in the process of, and I told him about the word I'd gotten the day before. And we just smiled. It was just amazing what God was doing and what God is doing. I want to, the question about this intimacy that I anticipated was how? Okay, Pastor, you've convinced me. I need to seek intimacy with my Heavenly Father. How? Well, I want to give you three things that I think are important. The first thing is to spend time in His Word. And, you know, I don't tell you that because that'll make you a good Christian, or because that's what you're supposed to do as a Christian, is read the Bible. It's not just this discipline type thing that, oh, you're a Christian now, you need to read your Bible. It's not about that. God has spoken, church. I mean, if we really believe that the Creator of the universe has spoken to us and He has things He wants to convey to us, would we want to know what that is? He has. He has spoken. And He has. Pick up His Word. This is another sermon, and I've talked about this a few months ago, but I think the biggest mistake, if you've not really been in the Word and you're trying to get started, the biggest mistake we make is we pick it up and we start trying to read it like a book. And we start with page one and we start reading. That's not the way, I don't believe, that's not the way to read the Bible. I would encourage you to start perhaps with the Psalms, right in the center of the Bible. Just start reading the Psalms. Pick one of the Gospels and read the Gospel. Perhaps even read a chapter of the of, of John or one of the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, read one, maybe a chapter and read some of the Psalm. It doesn't have to be a chapter. Read a verse. Start with a verse. But that's God. The Psalms are so incredible because they are, many times they are prayers where King David or others were crying out to God. They were crying out to God. And many times you'll read the Psalm and you'll go, that's what I feel, but I don't know how to say it. That's exactly what I feel. But they're saying it. And let that be your prayer to God. So spend time in His Word. Second thing of how do we achieve this intimacy, spend time in His lap, listening to His voice. Now that sounds maybe vague. Let me be more specific. Be still and be quiet. And just ask God to speak. God, what would you tell me right now? What would you tell me about me? How do you feel about me, God? Show me. How do you feel about this person that I'm having trouble forgiving? How do you feel about them? How do you feel about this circumstance right now that's going on in my life? What would you have me do? Just be still and listen. That's sitting in His lap, listening to His voice. And then finally, to seek His presence and His purpose. There's a great study that we've done in this church, I think we've done it in the last year or so, called Experiencing God. And the premise of this study is basically watch for what God is doing and then go join in. Many times we decide what we want to do and we try to coax God along with us. God, we want to do this. Come on. Come on, God. Let's go. But that's backwards because He's God. We look for where God is moving and we get involved. And Billy and I were talking about this week. You know, when I first became pastor here, we felt, and I still feel this way, that God was very specifically desiring for us to really focus our energies on local missions. I still believe that's true. And we've built homes for the poor and the needy, and we've fed people, and we've done a lot of things in service to our community, and I think God would still have us do that. But just in the last year, I've been sensing that God is telling us it's time to expand. It's time to also include missions outside of Abilene. Well, I haven't really voiced that. This first time, y'all have probably heard me say anything like that. But what's been happening is, guess what? Our youth just got back from New Orleans. We just sent 8 people to Costa Rica. All this happened in the last month. We've hadn't had any requests in 7-8 years for any international mission evangelist people coming wanting to speak to our congregation. I haven't been turning those people away. Well, in the last 3 or 4 couple of months, I don't know how many we've had that we've had opportunities to hear from, at least 3 or 4, outside our country, as well as the Methodist Children's Home in Waco. So, I mean, I believe, and they're starting to just kind of come to us. And by the way, we're supporting some of that as well. But I believe if we seek His presence and we seek His purposes, God is saying part of that more that I have for you as a church is outside the city limits of Abilene. I believe that God is saying, I'm providing the opportunity. Are you with me? God desires intimacy with us. Isn't that wonderful that we have a Heavenly Father that doesn't just put up with us, but He desires relationship and intimate. He wants us to crawl in His lap. Do you know Him like that? I pray this morning you do. Let's pray. Father, we praise You because You have called us by name and You have gone ahead of us and You are asking us to follow You. Father, I pray for the ones here this morning that that maybe don't know You in that way. They don't have intimacy with You. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would move. You'd move in our lives. We would hear Your voice. And we would respond. Father, I pray this morning, I pray blessings on the IHOP ministry. I thank You for the way they diligently seek Your heart. I pray for purity in that ministry. I pray that we would seek You, not just like that, but even beyond that, that we would seek You with all our heart. I thank You that You are the Good Shepherd and that You have laid down Your life for us. We pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. If you would stand as we close, if you would like to come forward and pray, visit with me, or ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior this morning, please come.
all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you.
Jesus is, he is offering you to come sit in his lap. And the awesome thing is, there's lots of room in that lap. So go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you.
I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in it.